Praise the Lord. 139. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. And mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And by God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. And mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. And mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Oh, yes, mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. On that chorus, oh, mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. I think we ought to sing it again. Oh, yes, mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
The book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, chapter 2 and verse 15. The book of 1 John, chapter 2 and verse 15. I'm preaching this morning on we are not home yet, children. We are not home yet, children. I love that song. My wife sung it many times through the years. And we really are not home, but we're close. How many feel close? We have anybody here but Brother Buck that's older than Brother Chambers? Well, Sister Chambers. Oh, that was bad. You know, it's a joy. It's a joy to know that we're not home yet, but we're close. I want to preach this morning from this text and other scriptures that I will share with you. 1 Corinthians 6 and Matthew 3. We've got some things I think will have an effect upon your life. I pray that they will. Let me read to you from the book of 1 John, chapter 2, and verse 15. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. Anybody want to read that with me? Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How do you identify all of these things of the world? Anything that doesn't please God. Anything that's not in the vein of God. Anything that's not biblically correct. Anything that's not biblically pure. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now there you have identification. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now listen. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. What a text. Did you know that text was given to us by the Holy Ghost through the half-brother of Jesus? This John, half-brother of Jesus, kin to Jesus. Listen to me now. I want to tell you again, don't love the world. Don't love the world. Don't love the things of the world. But love the Father. For if you are overwhelmed with the love of the world, he says it, the love of the Father is not in you. Now, I want you to really pray for Brother Chambers that God will help me this morning, because you're a beautiful congregation. I love you. This is the beginning of camp meeting to me. It really is. Beginning of camp meeting. So I love to preach to all of you, because I want you to feel what I'm preaching this morning. We're not home yet, children. Mom and I are getting close. Some of the others of you are close. Some of you may be closer than we even know. But it's for sure. Our eyes need to be set on heaven. Our eyes need to be set on heaven. Father, help this, your brother, your servant. Help this, your servant, to preach this morning the word of the Lord as you would have me. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. You said that, Father, and I desire that it be true this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The closer you get to home, listen to me now, the closer you get to home, the more you begin to consider things about heaven. And the more you begin to consider things about getting home, arriving, what it's going to be like, what you're going to have to offer. So the closer you get to home, the more you begin to consider some things about heaven. So I want to try to bring you first this morning to think about what heaven must be like, and what is part of going to heaven. And how do we want to arrive in heaven? What do we want to be really important to us as we get close to that place of glory? The first thing that I am thinking about, and I think this would be true with others, is I'm thinking about purity. I'm thinking about how pure am I? Am I as pure as I ought to be? Am I spending enough time dealing with living a righteous and holy life? Am I considering everything in my conduct, everything in my appetite, everything in my experiences, everything in the places I go, the things I do, the way I spend my money, everything about my life? Am I as pure as I want to be when those gates swing open wide and I enter in? Am I pure enough to walk down streets of gold and see Jesus down the pathway? Am I pure enough to pass by Apostle Paul, give him a great handshake and great embrace, Let him know how much I appreciate all his writings. Am I pure enough? Am I as pure as I ought to be? Am I really taking interest in the way I live my life as far as holiness? Am I really living a holy, set apart, consecrated life? Now, maybe you've not got to that point yet. But boy, that's been moving on me. That's been moving up and down the avenues of my heart. I've been praying this very week. I tried to go back through all of my Christian life. I try to remember every person I've ever known. Every person I've ever had fellowship with. I try to remember every enemy I have ever had. And I've had a few. And I made it careful that every one of them got forgiveness anew in my heart. I made it careful that I prayed for those that I may never see again. I made it important that I took an interest in every one of their lives. And I wept before God that Joe Chambers is as pure as he ought to be. Did I treat all my children right? Did I love them as profoundly as I should have loved them? Is there something I need to do to make sure I am in absolute pure standing with every human being on the face of this earth? I want to know that I'm pure as I'm approaching home. I want to know that I can walk down those streets of gold, those holy boulevards, those hallelujah, hallelujah highways, those pathways of purity and righteousness, and facing angels at every step of the way. Am I pure enough for that? Man, I want to be pure as I approach home. I want to be pure as I approach home. Then I want to think about what it's like to have a heavenly citizenship. All I've got now is an American citizenship. Well, I've got a spiritual citizenship over there. But what it's going to be like when I'm actually in that great heavenly sphere. When I'm walking up to the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. When the Spirit of God is like electricity that covers every inch of that sphere. Every inch of that place. What's going to be like? Am I ready for heavenly citizenship on a little level? Am I ready to be a citizen of that grand city? Am I ready to be a citizen of that grand city? Let me tell you something. The reason I've been going back to all of my acquaintances, all of the people I've known, and back to everybody that I've ever met, everybody that didn't like me, everybody that just didn't like me, I've repented and I've cried out to God that I might be pure in my relationship with every one of these people. So, you know, there's going to be some folks that's going to wind up in heaven that I didn't know was going to be there. There's going to be some folks there that I kind of thought they wouldn't make it. And when I see them, I don't want to be embarrassed not being able to walk up to them and grab them around the neck and love them. Hallelujah. I want to be so pure in my relationship with every living person. I know that I have nothing to worry about when I see anybody on those streets of gold. I don't want one place where there's a broken relationship. Am I talking to anybody? I kindly think I am. I kindly think every one of us have had some very unusual experiences. Every one of us have had some situations in our life that it wasn't easy to forget. But you see, the closer you get to home, the more you're ready to be one accord with every living person on the face of God's earth, and those have already gone to heaven that I don't even know about. If there was anything on my end, I got to be pure. On my end, it's got to be right. On my end, I've got to face them without any feeling of remorse. Oh, tickly chorus, somebody help me. You say, Brother Chambers, what are you preaching to us this morning? What you need? What you need as you face home. What you need as you face heaven. You see, the rapture might take place today. Are you ready? Are you ready? Listen to me. I've tried my best to think of everything. I've even considered my attire. My my shirts I wear, my suits I wear. You must consider your dresses, your skirts, your blouses, all your clothing. I want, as I get close to home, I want my dressing to be of the heavenly culture and of the heavenly citizenship, so that when I get to heaven, I won't have to change a thing about the way I live and the way I dress. I know we'll have robes of righteousness. I don't know exactly how all of that's going to be, but I know one thing. I want my dress down here to be acceptable over there. You know, I don't know about you, but I just think that's the kind of preacher this generation needs to hear. Almost every time I walk down the street, I'm having to turn my head. You know, it's vulgar. Subculture is the word I have for it. Subculture. Well, I want to get ready for heaven. I want to live so that I have nothing to change. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen a picture of a rapture where everybody wasn't dressed in spotless attire? No. And you never will if it's legitimate. Because when that rapture takes place, it's going to be a godly assembly that rises up to meet the King in the air. And what you live down here is what you're going to take with you into that city. What you live down here, it's what you're going to take into that city. Oh, God help me. God help me. So I'm very concerned about how I dress. I really am. I really am. I want to make sure. Listen to me now. I'm getting down where rubber meets the road. I want to make sure that when I get to heaven, I won't have to change one thing about my conversation. I won't have to clean up some words out of my vocabulary. I won't have to go looking through all of my languages I've used down here and try to get it ready after I get up there. Because, brother, I'm going to take whatever I have in here with me when I go. And I want my language to be so pure that nobody could ever hear me say one thing that heaven couldn't hear me say. Let me see the hands of everybody that understand this kind of pure language. Is this pure language? Is this pure language? Is your conversation so pure today that you could take everything you say, every word you speak, and walk right down the streets of gold and say it to the saints of God when you meet them on the streets of heaven? Is your language that pure? If it isn't, I would suggest you work on it. I would suggest you let the King of Kings sanctify you. Clean up your language. How about any jokes that you tell? How about what you watch on Facebook? Oh, how about television? How about television? What do you allow in your home? Do you let an old adulterous situation play out on your screen in your living room while you sit there and scringe and sit there and say, well, I wish they wouldn't do things like that? Well, then stop them from doing it on your television. Oh, that's a little plan, huh? I'll tell you right now, I'm telling you, church, you need to get your life so pure, and everything you do and everything that comes on that boob tube in your living room, maybe best get rid of it. I did that many years ago because I couldn't stand it. I went to Christians' homes and there'd be an old fornication act going on the screen right in front of them, and then nobody would get up and I'd have to go home and take a bath because I felt unclean. Some of you just looking at me like maybe you think I've lost it. Well, I've lost it. I lost it at Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I lost it at Calvary. It's time we cleaned up our lives. It's time we cleaned up everything about our lives. It's time we dress right. It's time we talk right. It's time we look right at anything we look at and go to pure places. My wife and I talk about where can we go and relax a day or two. And we just don't know. Most of the world is such an unclean thing. I'm not putting everything down. I'm not trying to get on anybody's case. I'm just trying to get you the gospel and let you and God work this thing out in your life, because that's what you need to do. Oh, hallelujah. So we're not home yet, children. What does that mean? You've got time to straighten out some affairs. You got time to clean up some areas of your misconduct. You got time to take back. You know, some of you, I probably went to work and saw this nice little tool that the boss man bought for you to use on the job. And you kind of accidentally stuck it in your pocket. And when you got home, you forgot to carry it back. You probably need to make some restitutions. Whew, I hadn't preached that in a long time. Making restitutions. Hallelujah. I'll never forget it. I'd been such a bad boy in school. And I had a good teacher. Oh, Miss Simpson was her name. She became the principal as well as the teacher. And I did such ugly things. When I got saved, I couldn't find her, but I found her address because I was living in a faraway town. And I wrote a letter and said, "Miss Simpson, this is Joe Chambers, and I'm writing to ask you to forgive me for the ugly, mean things I did. I got to make them right." I remember going to the A&P store where I'd stole one thing that I could remember, and I sent money to pay them for what I owed them. I wanted to make everything right. You see, I'm getting ready to go home. And when I move over there, I want a clean slate. Anybody here with me? I want a clean slate. I want to make sure there's nothing on my records that God walks up to me and says, "Joe, you remember this?" No, I'm not going to have nothing to remember if God will help me. I'm going to repent. I'm going to get on my face. Anybody you don't like? No, sirree. There's not a soul on this earth I'm mad with. There's not a person I'm angry about. There's not a person I feel ugly and mean toward. I've already taken care of it in that altar with God and believe in Him to cleanse me so that everything's pure with God. Amen. How many want to get ready to enter those gates? Let me see your hand. Raise it way up high. You want to get ready to enter those gates. You want to get ready to walk down those streets of gold. You want to get ready without any degree of any condemnation, with any sense of self-consciousness, nothing to worry about. In fact, I got to go to sleep every night with a pure heart because I'm closer to home than I was yesterday. I'm closer to home than I was yesterday. Hallelujah. Oh, what a picture. What a picture. Oh, you want to live in such a manner that when you get there, everything's okay. Now, let's move a little further. And this might speak to somebody, I don't know. But would you go with me? Would you go with me to the book of Matthew? The book of Matthew. I think I said 3, but I meant chapter 6. Chapter 3. Chapter 6, I'm sorry. Chapter 6 in the book of St. Matthew. First book of the New Testament. And let's go to verse 16. I want you to hear this now. Remember, we're talking about we're not home yet, children. We got time to fix things. We got time to change things. We got time to get things right. Now listen to this. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal, nor steal. For where your treasure is. You want me to read the rest? You think I should? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, crap. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful when God called me to preach. I didn't do a thing but strike out. Didn't have any promise but one revival. When I took a church, there was no salary. I remember one winter that Mom and I had to drive a car without any brakes. And I'd go to the hospital about 8 miles away. I'd drive real slow so that I could gear it down if the traffic got any way dangerous. I never forget. I never forget. I remember we was kind of hungry. Terry was just a little fella, about 6 months old. And I remember a car driving up from Wilmington, 30, 60 miles away. God woke me up this morning, said, "Bring you some groceries." Oh, I said, "Thank you, sir. God spoke to you." And God had brought us or sent us groceries to feed us that day. And I remember some of those tough places, and I never remember ever feeling sad. I never remember ever doubting. I never remember. You said, "Brother, and I don't mean to be bragging on nobody. I'm just telling you, when God called me, I said, it's all for you, God. Nothing else matters. We forsook everything, and we let out to obey the great God of heaven. Hallelujah. And our record is clear this morning. We've trusted Him. 60 years of pastoring in September. And He's never failed us. Never failed us. Oh, raise your hand if God's never failed you. Because some of you can testify just like I'm testifying. I'm here to tell you, it's a grand thing. It's a glorious thing. When you lay up your treasures over there. I've never had no treasures. I've got a few things that are kindly special. And I've been making up my mind this week. I'm fixing to take one thing I've got and get rid of it and send it to Haiti to help them. You see, God wants us to lay up our treasures over there. Where are your treasures anyway? A big bank somewhere with tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands and hundreds of your treasure in case it rains. It's raining! Jesus is coming. Somebody help me preach, would you? Hallelujah. Lay not up your treasures on this earth because you'll be scared every day of your life. How many of you got locks on your house just like I've got and locks on your car? You know somebody could steal it. I got news for you. I got some treasures that nobody can touch. Mama, raise your hand with me, honey. Oh, we've got some treasures that nobody can touch. They're over there on the lock and key of the heavenly salt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Laying up treasures in that home above. Trusted, fully entrusted in the Savior's love. Remember the old song? Hallelujah. Laying up our treasures. Let's start doing that, church. Let's every one of us start laying up our treasures over there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you are going to die and your family going to fight over your money, your leftovers, and they're going to hate one another the rest of their life. Why don't you just give it to God? You think I'm trying to feather my own nest, don't you? No, I'm not. I'm here to tell you, it's time we laid up our treasures for over there. Because everything down here is more insecure than it's ever been in my lifetime. I'm here to tell you, I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know which way this world's going. If they can get rid of Donald Trump, they're going to do it. They're going to do their best, and only God can protect him and keep him from the assassination. You know all about that. You've been watching the news. I'm just here to tell you, our world is in a mess. But this world is passing away, and all the lust thereof. There's not a thing down here that's going to stand the judgment that's coming. It's going to be blown away, burned away, destroyed, eliminated, and this world's going to be a holy place, and all the saints of God with their treasures are going to live for Him forever. Did you know the Bible said forsake your father and your mother and your sister and your brother and your houses and your land, everything you got? And you know what He said He'd do? He said He would give it all back to you with abundance, with increase, plus eternal life. Hallelujah. Woo! Anybody with me this morning? So lay up your treasures down here. No. 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 Somebody say no. Lay up your treasures over there. Start figuring how you can start laying up more treasures. God's keeping a record of everything about you. Everything you do and everything you don't do. Everything about it. He even knows your conversation afar off. He knows all your plans, all your games, all your designs, everything you think. He knows what's on your mind right now. Somebody might be saying, I ain't going back here. I'll preach again. Well, it's a choice. But I'm laying up my treasures over there. Oh, what a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. When I begin to think about the good things that God has done and the blessings of His love, it's thrilling to my heart. It really is. All right, let's go a little further. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll start reading, if we might, with verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. For other foundation can no man lay, but that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. Now notice, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's works shall be made manifest. Did you know that everything you have done since you were born again, every work of your Christian walk, every work of your Christian experience, everything, he's got a perfect record. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Now, if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. What's he talking about? He's talking about you. The foundation is Jesus. You got that message? That's the first verse I read. The foundation is Jesus. But when Jesus came in, I was 16 years old, and he took up his reign in my heart. I remember sitting back in church. I can remember it just like it was yesterday, and weeping and thinking, oh God, I'm ready to preach the gospel. My church members said, Joe Chambers, you can't even talk plain. You are so tongue-tied. The doctor tit-tit-tum, but the tilt ain't talk no better. And they'd laugh at my language. I still have people that laugh at my talk sometimes because I have a hard time with many words. But I got news for you. God didn't call me to preach because I had ability. He called me to preach because I was available. Hallelujah. And God's calling you for what you do, not because of your talents, not because of your great skills. He's calling you for what he can do in you. All you got to do is be available. I can't sing, Brother Chambers. I still can't, but I'm going to. You say, you're going to sing? Yes. You wait till I get my new body. Hallelujah. I'm going to sound better than Joe Gans when I get my new body. Hallelujah. I've already got the volume. I just don't have the style. I don't have the tune. Oh, but one day I will have it. Hallelujah. You see, everything you give up, he gives back to you. Did you know that? Everything you submit and surrender, he gives back to you at some point. At some time. Even here. That's what my Bible said. But then, eternal life. So, the foundation is Christ. What are you building on your foundation? Now, we don't want to stop there because you need to understand something. It is possible for any one of you to lose your reward. It is possible for you to lose your reward. You say, Brother Chambers, how can that be possible? Because you'll be judged according to you. You're not going to be judged by grace. You're going to be judged by your surrender. You're going to be judged by your dedication. Let me read it to you. You got to know, every man's work shall be tried. Manifest, he says. Every man's work shall be manifest. For the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire. It shall be revealed by fire. Now let's do an example here. I don't want nobody to miss my sermon. Here I stand before the Lord. And the Lord's looking at Joe Chambers. He has the complete and perfect record of Joe Chambers. And suddenly there's a fire like judgment that just sweeps over me. And all the works that I have done that were not gold and silver and precious stone, but wood and hay and stubble, that fire consumes them. And there you stand. There, listen to me now. You say, Brother Chambers, now I don't know about this. Well, you go study it when you get home. I'm going to tell you, standing right there before the Lord Jesus Christ, your works of wood and hay and stubble will vanish. There will be people who got into the city, who made it home to heaven. They're not lost. But suddenly they're naked as far as works. They have nothing of which to be rewarded for. because all their life they were so selfish. And they were so caught up in themselves. They were building their own empire. They were doing their own big thing. They were making some big things with their life. And there's nothing wrong. And God making some big things with your life. If God does it, and He gets all the glory for it. But I'm talking about what the flesh wants to do. And what the flesh tries to do. And what the flesh tries to build. And here we see people in that very chapter. And their works disappear. And there's nothing. Nothing for the Lord to see. They're saved so as by fire. Is what the scripture says. But lose their reward. Now, just look at me. What did Jesus do for you when you were dead in sin? When you were overwhelmed by the darkness of the world? When all you loved was the world and self and things and future and accomplishments and you just caught up in yourself? Can you imagine what it's going to be like on that day? I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell you, heaven is going to be the most wonderful place that any man ever arrived. And the only thing can make it better is your reward. Whatever you have done and whatever faithfulness you've lived and how God can look at you and just see the sacrifice that you have made. Take up your cross and follow me daily, he said. Are you ready to follow the Lord daily so that when you get there, you can have a heavenly reward? I want to see your hand if you're willing to do that. Are you willing to sell out? I mean sell out everything. I mean give up everything of this world. Anything that don't meet the muster of that holy book. Anything that's not pure and holy. Any godly life that's not godly. Listen to me. It's time we became ready to go to heaven. Because we're not home yet. But it could be any time. Hallelujah. Could be any time. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Now, I got to finish reading that. Because I want you to never forget this scripture. I'm not preaching to you to be a great preacher. I'm preaching to you so I can help you make it home with great, great success. If any man's works above which he built thereupon, he shall, if they burn. Let me read it again. If any man's works abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. There are going to be people in heaven with no reward. And I don't like that. I don't even understand that. That kind of goes contrary to my desires. But there's going to be plenty of people up there with great rewards. And everybody will know what your reward is up there. We shall know even as we are known, the Bible said. Hallelujah. I can't wait to get there. Hallelujah. I got so excited this morning thinking, Lord, you've kept a record. Hallelujah. What a grand day that's going to be. I can't wait to go home. I've had such a homesickness lately. I am amazed at it. Hallelujah. Can't go till mama goes. But I want to tell you something. It's going to be a joy to go home. If you're getting close, I mean at 82, shortly. I don't know when I'm going. I plan to hang around just to word the devil to death. You hear that? I plan to hang around just to keep the old devil upset. You know, I'm going to do everything I can do to stay here as long as he'd have me to stay here. But when it's time to go, I've already told Mama, if anything happens to this old body, don't you call no ambulance. Don't you call no doctors. You just let me lay there in Jesus' care until he finishes. He'll either heal me or he'll take me home. And I tell you right now, folks, it's going to be grand to go home. Now, I got to go a little further. I want you with me. Go to Matthew 5:44. I'm not going to preach for a little longer now. Don't get nervous, okay? I want your life to be blessed this morning. Matthew 5:44. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, What do you more than others do? Even the publicans. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Whoa, isn't that beautiful? Hey, how many people do you love this morning? In closing, this sermon. I want to know, can you love the most unlovable character you ever meet and treat him kind? Can you be kind to that man, that woman, who's just so evil? And they hate you. But he says, do you love those only who are your brethren? Do you love only those who are good to you? Do you have a big old heart for Jesus to love anybody and everybody? I don't care who walks in them doors of this church. This church has the motto, love will meet you at the door. I want us to welcome into this building anybody in this town that wants to hear the story of Jesus and tell them the story and lead them to Calvary's tree. Because that's the kind of love that God has called his church to have. That's the kind of commitment that God has called his church to know. There's just nothing. There is just plain nothing that's as wonderful, as glorious as serving the Lord. I want you to raise your hand up high. I want you to ask God to help you to get ready for that blessed moment. That blessed moment. That glorious hour. That grand time when we come down to the end of this journey. I'm so close to home. I'm so close to home. You think 65 years behind me? I'm telling you, 3, 4, 5, 10 years. That's nothing compared to my 65 that I've served him. And I'm here to tell you, I'm ready to go home. Oh, at the moment, at the time. What a day. Stand up, Sister Chambers.
We're not home yet, children. We're not home. We're not home yet, children. So keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor. Then we'll sit down beside the river. How we've longed to be with Jesus. And our loved ones gone before us. There's a better day coming. We're not home yet.
Would you stand?
We're not home yet, children.
Hallelujah.
So keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days.
Raise your hand.
Labor,
and
we'll sit down beside the river. How we've longed to be with Jesus. And our loved ones gone before us. There's a better day.
Can you sing those verses?
We're not home yet.
Hallelujah.
This whole world is filled with disappointments and trouble every day. Many times I get discouraged and I've almost lost my way. Then I remember that just a pilgrim in this filled, troubled world below. That's the reason I can sing as I go.
Oh, sick of brother.
Oh, we're not.
Yeah,
children.
So keep
so
your eyes,
on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, then we'll sit down beside. beside the river. The river. How we long to be with
you. I don't know about you, but I can hardly wait.
And our love has gone before us.
Well,
there's a better day.
Raise your hand and get yourself ready to go, would you?
There's a land filled with milk and honey just waiting for me.
Hallelujah.
Serving Jesus.
I have come from so far away, down the road of my own mistakes, in the hope you could hear me pray. Oh Lord, keep me in your reach. Now I've longed through these wasted years to outrun all my pain and fears, turn to stone from my uncried tears. And now it's your grace I see. Love won't conquer might. It's a gift, it's a sacrifice. My soul grew, my heart released. In you I'll find my wondrous child, for whom the angels sing. Know my joy, feel my suffering. Shining star, make this love you'll bring so bright that I may be. And my